This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East of IE. In this week's message entitled, So What Do You Think?, Pastor Aaron reminds us that how we think is what we become. In light of this, Pastor Aaron gives us three practical steps to evaluate and govern the way that we think. This message was delivered on July 29th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
You know, Pastor Scott told me last week that Trisha was going to do the announcements and offering. I thought, right on. Never did I know she was going to bring up two other ladies with her. We got to hire her to get people involved. Yeah. Good job. Thank you very much. And can you help me and say also thank you to our men's ministry for covering worship this morning? I always do appreciate when they get to do it because they give me a break. Especially on a day like today when I get to do the message, yeah? They always give me a break, and they sounded so good today. You know, I really love this church. It's what I think about this church. It's the best church in the world. And, you know, that may be my opinion, but I want you to know something. My opinion always right. And a couple years ago, when Pastor Scott asked me to oversee the worship team, I told him, bro, you're not hearing God, because you know that I cannot play instruments. I can sing, but, you know, I'm not that great. But he continued to ask me, so I said, finally, I prayed over it, and I heard God, and God said, yes, you get to take over the worship team. So I did, and man, it's been a joy. One thing about the worship team that we have here, I love the songs that we sing. You know, on Father's Day, my dad spoke at the big church up on Kupulau, so I got to go visit there. And as I'm sitting there and listening to their worship, they have a super, super talented team. They're really good. These guys are professional musicians, some of them. But as I'm sitting there, it's like, my team will better. And I think it has to do with the perspective that I have. Because I love the songs that we sing, the style of worship that we do, and especially the love of the team that I have. I know you noticed last week, but I messed up our special real bad. Right from the beginning, I was, I don't know why, but I was way off key in the beginning. But what did they do? Nobody points fingers here. They jump in, and everybody started singing with me. And got me back on key. And even when we make mistakes, especially in worship, you know what God calls the mistakes? He calls that worship. That's right. So that's why I just love this team. And another thing about my team is if you look at the people who are up here, before they even started singing here, they chose to serve within this church. To be a part of what's going on out there before they appear. So I appreciate that so much about them, because when they do that, it shows us all that it's not about them. It's about Him. Amen? Amen. Speaking of my worship team, I want to pick on, you guys all know Kahea. Kahea is part of our worship team. I want to pick on her because she's not here today. Okay? She cannot beat me up. So let's share a little story about her. But if you know Kahea, that girl can sing. Yes. She really can sing. If you were here two Easters ago, you know that beyond the shadow of a doubt. Now, after they were done singing that special on Easter, first thing Pastor Scott did was he came up here and he said, yes, I taught her how to sing. And that's his opinion. But I want you folks to finally know the truth, okay? The truth is that I taught her how to sing. And that's the truth. Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because we met while we were working as assistant pastors up at Kupulau Church together. We met this 16-year-old girl. And, you know, she was, for lack of a better term, she was a real titter. And you would just, if you only heard her talk, you would never think she could sing that way. But we met her there, and she would come, and I would be leading worship up there, and she would be in the front row, and I'd watch her watching me intently, taking mental notes, and even scribbling down every once in a while. And I know what she was writing. Oh, that was good. I got to do that. And then after that, she would ask me question after question after question, and I would answer her, and if I didn't know the answer to the questions, I'd make things up, because she was that enthusiastic about it. But so I just want you guys to know, I'm the one who taught her to sing, okay? You're very welcome. At least that's my opinion on that, my perspective. And my wife, Carlin, says, man, you're the most opinionated person on this earth. I don't know where she gets that from. But today, I want to talk to you about perspectives, and this is why. Because our perspectives are important in shaping the direction that our lives take. And our perspectives will determine the actions and reactions that we so choose to commit in this life, in turn, determining how effective we really are. So this morning, I want you to take a step back and have you think about the way you think. Because somehow, some way, something or someone has had an influence in your life to shape the way you think about everything, every aspect that you might face. And the importance to that lies in the fact that every action and every decision we make, everything that we do, stems from what's in the heart, from the thought life that we so choose to hold to. Check out this verse. It's in Proverbs 23, verse 7, where it says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." And how true is that? How true is that? That as a man thinks, so does he become. And it pours out in evidence in his actions, and especially through the words that we speak, through the tongue. Listen to how somebody speaks, the things that they talk about, the references that they make, the opinions that they hold to, and I say with much certainty that you've gotten the inside track on what is in their heart. And so does everybody else, for that matter. Imagine, if you would, having to hang around with somebody all day, with someone whose opinions are just way off the mark, perhaps shaped by previous mishaps or mistreatments, whatever it might be. And some of you don't even have to imagine that, yeah? Because you live it. Now, you might have the social and the spiritual maturity to see past it all, to be above the negative comments and to brush them off, not allowing them to take effect in your life. But think about this. Let's say that this person is a parent, a father, a mother, someone who has young children. Can you imagine the effect that it's having on them? Even so far as to be shaping their thought process in the same manner. You ever heard the terms of sins of the father? Now, think about the way you think and realize this, that the way you think in your heart does come out in your words and in your actions. And that's a dangerous thing, again, especially if you have young children or if you have influence on anybody else in some way. And such is why it holds a high priority that we have our opinions and our thoughts in order. Because at some point, the way that we think on the inside is going to manifest itself on the outside. And for some of us, it's been showing up a whole lot lately, and not always in commendable ways. I'll be so bold as to say this, that somebody here today saw something pop up in their actions just this week, something not very good, and they said to themselves, that's got to change. In fact, more than likely, there's somebody here today that took a look at their overall lifestyle, looked in the mirror, and thought about everything that they've done and everything that they've become, saw things that weren't up to par, and uttered inside, that's got to change. See, in the grand scheme of things, this is how it works. If you want to change your lifestyle, then you have to change your actions. If you want to change your actions, you have to change your decision-making process. And if you want to change your decision-making process, then you have to change the way you think. In perspective, it all begins with the way you think. All begins with the opinions that your heart holds on to. Now, here's the thing. Opinions vary, don't they? They vary according to culture, to circumstance. They vary according to experiences. They vary from person to person. And if I were to ask a question right now about any given subject, we'd likely have probably 50 different opinions right here and right now. Now, one of the things that I used to do as a full-time pastor up at New Hope in Kupula, one of the things that I enjoyed doing back then was I used to do weddings. I used to do a lot of weddings. I don't know how it happened, but somehow, some way, I became the wedding guy. If you turned in the tear-off tab and you said, I'd like to speak to a pastor because we're getting married, that one didn't go to anybody else. Ended up on my desk. I think it was because my dad was senior pastor, and he didn't like to do weddings very much, so what did he do? He said, oh, you know who you should go to? You should go to Pastor Aaron. He's really good at weddings. Well, just so you know, I've had to take a step back from wedding. I think the last time I counted, I had done 118 or so weddings. And that's wonderful. But I had to take a step back from that because it became a little overwhelming. Because unlike a lot of pastors who go and it's a ceremony to them, it becomes more than a ceremony just for me. I like to sit down with them and talk to them and get them off as best as I can on the right foot. I believe that was my job. So I've taken a step back from doing weddings just to take a break for a while, get my head back together, just so you know. So now if you come up and say, hey, we want to get married, would you do our wedding? And I'm going to tell you, you know what? You know Pastor Scott? He has a great wedding. Okay? But there's something just so much more wonderful about officiating the union of two people in love rather than officiating a counseling of a marriage on the rocks. Now, that's only my opinion. If you would rather do marriage crisis counseling, more power to you. In fact, let me know, okay? You can do all of mine. But I prefer weddings. And I had performed about 7 or 8 weddings as a young pastor. When somebody approached me after that wedding, and they said, hey, wonderful job. That was a beautiful ceremony. But, and whenever you hit a but, here comes the opinion, right? But you forgot to ask the witnesses if there was anybody here who didn't agree to this union. And I thought about that. And you know what? Every wedding that I had gone to before that, the officiator would say that. And I thought, oh, how bad of me. I apologized to him, and I told him, you know what? Thank you for bringing that up. And I purposed in my heart that I would put that into every wedding thereafter. Well, it was the very next couple. They turned out to be one who had been living together for 14 years, had 4 kids, and finally, they came to this decision that they wanted to get right before God and everything else, above everything else. So, of course, I got to ask the question, what took you so long to get to this point? Was it that you weren't sure you were in love with each other? And they said, no, wasn't about love because he fell in love with her like 1 month into their relationship. She slapped him when he said that because she was in love with him like 1 week after the relationship. Okay, so it's not love. So what was it? Was it money? Not enough money? And again, they said no. 2 very successful people in their jobs. They had their own house. The kids were well taken care of. Okay, so it's not love. It's not money. So what else is there? And you know what it was? That they were unsure about being getting married. What held them back for 14 years from making this union right before God was this. It was other people's opinions that they weren't right for each other. That's what kept them from being right before God. Other people's opinions. believe it was an uncle on his side and one of her best friends who said that they would never work out. Well, right there in that moment, as soon as I heard that, God revealed to me about which opinion really mattered and what I would get to do in every wedding ceremony thereafter. And I remember vividly this couple standing before me on their wedding day, and I got to that part in the ceremony where opinions get to be voiced, and I said, "Now, this is the part of the ceremony where the officiator will usually say, if there's anyone who objects to this union," and I stopped just for a few moments, stopped to look out in the crowd, and indeed, I saw a couple eyes light up, getting ready to speak out. But before they could, I said, "Not today. That will not happen today, because there are really only three opinions that matter here today. And they're not yours, and they're not mine. They belong to the bride and the groom, and their God. And if those three opinions are one and the same, that God thinks these two should be together, then that's all that really matters." I had a woman come up to me crying after, saying, "Pastor, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, I was going to speak up." I said, "I know." That's why I cut in so fast. But that's all that really matters. Opinions vary. But in the end, when all is said and done, there's only one opinion that is going to matter. And they don't belong to you. They don't belong to me. They don't belong to the President of the United States or anybody else for that matter. They only belong to God. And it will be of great benefit to us if we would simply allow his opinion to be the only one that shapes our thought life. Because that kind of thinking will render us more effective, not just in this life, but right on up into eternity. So this morning, would you allow me to give you three things to think about? And the first is this. Would you rethink the way you think? Rethink the way you think. Allow your thinking to be reshaped by God's opinion. And where do we find his opinion? It's right here, right in the Word. It's been here for over 4,000 years. In the infallible Word of God, we find his heart, his thoughts, his opinion on every single detail pertaining to this life. So often do people come to me for counseling, and they find themselves in some sort of a bind or something going wrong in their lives, and they lay out everything that has them worried, everything that has them troubled and downcast, and my heart breaks for them. And then they proceed to tell me about what so-and-so said about it and how this person feels about it and about that person's opinion on it. And at the end of it all, 10 out of 9 times, they ask me this question. They ask, "So, Pastor, what do you think?" Now, let me just clear something up before I tell you the answer to that question, okay? When I say 10 out of 9 times, Carlin always nails me on this one. Her opinion is that it doesn't exist. But yes, it does. When I say 10 out of 9 times, that means every time plus one. So the question is, "So, Pastor, what do you think?" And this is the answer that I always give. I tell them, no matter what I think, doesn't matter what I think, because my opinion doesn't hold any power. And before they can react, I get to turn the table around to them and ask them this: what does God think about it? What does God think about what you're going through? Because all truth laid out, his opinion does hold power. In fact, his opinion is the only one that matters. And the whole reason that we get into trouble in the first place is that we are acting upon someone else's opinion rather than his. Now, after I ask that question, I usually get to see a light bulb go on. And 10 out of 9 times, I get this response. They say, "I don't know." And inside my heart, something screams out, "That's right, you don't know. Because if you did know God's opinion, you probably wouldn't be in this place." So people of New Hope East Hawaii, this is why the pastors and the leaders of this church are always striving to impress upon you the importance of daily devotions, the importance of getting into the Word, so that you will know, and you'll know well, what God thinks. 2 Timothy, verse 3, starting in verse 16. I'm going to cut this one apart, okay? I'm going to read it real slow, so bear with me, okay? Where Paul writes, the whole Bible. How much? The whole Bible. Not just the chapters that you like, okay? But the whole Bible, even the boring ones. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God. From who?
God.
From God. That means every word written in there was somehow or some way inspired by the God who knows everything. Placed upon men's heart, then placed upon the page. And it is useful to teach us what is true. Say that with me. Three words. What is true? What is true? You want to know what is true? All you got to do is go into the Word. There's so many things that just throw us off. I mean, every commercial you watch nowadays is somebody's opinion on how good their product is or how good they want you to think it is so that you spend money on it, right? But truth comes from the Word of God. And to make us realize, oh, this one's sore. What is wrong? What is wrong in our lives? It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. It's God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. Amen. Folks, that is what the Word is. It's God's awesomely inspired, perfect opinion that, if we heed it, will cause us to be well prepared and fully equipped for every point in life. Does that make sense? And every time we so choose to sit with the Word of God, we make a keynote statement without even using words. You know what we're saying? We're saying this to the Lord. We're saying, Lord, your opinion matters to me. So teach me. Teach me to think like you, to even rethink the way I think so that I'll know what is true from what is wrong and I'll be able to choose to do what is right. And let me give you an example of how God thinks. Just a simple, tangible way to begin to fine-tune our thinking to match up closer to His. And it's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where again Paul writes, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, so many people don't like God. They don't like God because they think His opinion of them is very poor. And they think that way because of the things that they've done. But God doesn't think like that. Just so you know. You know what God thinks about you? He thinks eternity. And He thinks love when He thinks of you. That's how God thinks. Just begin to imagine how much more simple and peaceful and effective our lives would be if we could simply accomplish this. To think the way God thinks. To dwell on the things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, excellent and praiseworthy. To not have to be sidetracked or brought to despair by the destitute opinions of this world. What a life that would be. You talk about being set free by the truth, that's exactly what it is. So rethink the way you think. Number two, reorder the way you think. Reorder the way you think. We all know that outside influences are always going to vie for space in your thought life. That's a given. And if you're anything like me, there's a whole lot of empty space up here. And thoughts are getting in all the time. Truth is that as long as we're still in this world, we're always going to be challenged by the thoughts of this world. But one thing you'll discover about the world's opinion is that it never matches up to God. It just can't hold anything to the way he thinks. Where the knowledge of this world ends, the wisdom of our God hasn't even gotten started. Romans 11 asks this question. It says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? And I love the way it's paraphrased in the Message version, where it says, is there anyone around who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? I love that. Have you ever tried to tell God what to do? Yeah. Never works out, yeah? No. Well, listen, folks. When we are at the end of our brainwaves, faced with impossible circumstances which require for us to make a decision, and we throw up our hands in disgust and says, who knows? You know who knows? God does. Somehow or other, life will require that we make tough decisions, even in areas where we have no knowledge. And there's going to be opinions floating around, all around us. And what it's all going to come down to is whose opinion is going to take priority in your life. I have to ask this question. Whose opinion do you want governing your thoughts? This world? And let me remind you, every single day when we turn on the news, we see the effects of the opinions of this world. Or do you want a God whose thinking is infinite? Now, there's a huge difference between good thinking and God thinking. On paper, it might be just a 1-0, but in life, and more importantly, in eternity, the difference is infinite. Yeah, some people's opinions might be good, some even great, but only God's is right and just and solid 100% of the time. His opinion is the only one that doesn't change with the times or the circumstances. We often hear the phrase, wisdom beyond the ages. Let me tell you what that is. It is the wisdom that comes from the one who supersedes time itself, the creator of all time and space. Now, here's what you want to do with that bit of information. You want to give God's opinion top priority. As you face the things in life that life throws at you, think, I know what so-and-so would say, and I know how this person would handle it, and this is how I know I might have handled it before. But what would Jesus do? How would Jesus think? How would he think in this situation? I promise you, you start to do this often enough, coupled with getting into his word and hearing his heart every single day, and the answers will begin to come automatic. Reorder the way you think in such a way that God's opinion takes top priority. And then number three, reapply the way you think. Reapply the way you think. What does this mean? It means don't let your God thoughts go void. I mean, why would we ever gain anything not to use it? That's foolish. Commit your thought life to action. Romans 2, verse 13, it says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. And then Jesus states it like this in Luke 11, where he says, he replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. You know what he's saying? He said, listen to me, but don't just listen. Do something about it. That's what he's saying. My dad, Pastor Alex Pacheco, he iterates and reiterates that application is the key to success. And I get to reiterate that today. Godly thinking begins with the heart, but don't let it end there. If that's what we choose to do, then it's like upgrading a lamp in your living room from a 25-watt bulb to a 100-watt bulb, only to stick it under the couch. That's just dumb. Jesus said, he said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know what he's saying? He's saying, let them see my opinion of them living through your actions. That's what he's saying. Apply your godly thought life in such a way that it even impacts eternity. And you know what I've learned happens when we do? It becomes contagious. The book of Hebrews actually instructs us, says, and let us continue how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Again, up at the big church, you know that they actually sell breakfast there. Yeah? We move better than them too. We give them over here. But one of the social things to do is that we would always have breakfast inside of the fellowship hall. I'd go and, when I wasn't doing anything within the program, I would go and just get everything all set up in the first service. And then Carlin and I would go and sit down with a group of friends and anybody who would want to join us and have breakfast in the morning through first service and then try to get done before second service and be in there to get things rolling again. Well, one day, this one guy who was a regular attendee at church, he came, and as we were talking, he stole my plate. In fact, he grabbed everybody else's plate, and he took it to the rubbish can and threw it away. I was kind of mad because I never finished it, but that was okay. Next week, he came and he did the same thing. The third week, I was ready for him. He came around, and he reached down for mine, and I grabbed his hand, and I said, hey, I can do that, you know. You don't have to. And he looked at me, and he said, Pastor, you know, I've been thinking about how I get to serve in this church. And, you know, I cannot sing like you, and I cannot, you'll never get me to go up on stage. I'm too afraid to speak publicly. I'm not good with computers, so I can't do design and all those things. And I don't have the ear, so I wouldn't be a good sound man. But he said, I can do this. I know that I can do this to show you what I think about you and everybody else for that matter. I can grab your plate and put it away so that you can enjoy your fellowship time. And he didn't just do this for me. He did this for the whole fellowship hall. And I stepped back and I said, I understand. I get it. Thank you very much. You know what happened over the next few months? People were watching him. People were watching his opinion about the way that he thought about them, about how he loved them doing this. People were watching what God thought about them through his actions. And pretty soon, other guys were jumping up and stepping in. Pretty soon, we were fighting to grab plates, rushing around and doing that. But that's what happens when we choose to commit our godly opinions to action. So let me lift up this encouragement. Reapply the way you think. Amen? Amen. Now, you know that every message, I leave a bottom line. Something for you to write down, something to wrap up the message with. Well, this is the one for today. And it goes like this. As I think, so I'll be. As I think, so I'll be. So let me ask you again. So what do you think? I'm going to ask Brother James to come up. He's going to be receiving our missions offering this morning. Would you welcome him as he comes? Next up.
Morning. Morning. Okay. All right. Every fifth Sunday, we take a missions offering to help so other people around the world can receive God. And just like today, it was a good message by Pastor Aaron, and that's just God speaking through him, and it was just confirmation for me from what this message today, and it was great. So let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to give and getting to give. Please bless this offering to you. May you do great things with it and help reach people around the world. And just, we'd like to thank you and give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The man, will you come up?
Wanted to share Aaron's comment about him being always right. You know why? Because Carlin led him to. Well, anyway, too, I wanted to share. We, at the men's breakfast, we committed to go there and learn about God and about how we should live, lead our lives. And we learn a lot from each other. And, you know, Pastor Wayne, he's smart. You know, I mean, Pastor Scott, he's smart. You know how he draws us over there? He feed us steak. And yesterday's steak was so, oh no, oh, I'm going to come again. I hope I'm going to get again. Well, anyway, I really appreciate the man I serve with, because you know, you see they love the Lord. You wouldn't see normally men come up here and sing in front of people when they're not used to. It's because they love God. And that is not going to keep them away from serving him. Amen. Can we stand and sing the last song?
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.